This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Good team on paper on FUBAR Radio.
Team on Paper is a show that's just for fun and utilises the values and scoring systems of Fantasy Premier League, but is in no way affiliated to that fine organisation or the Premier League itself. As this is just for fun, you can assume that most of what we say is a joke. If you're not sure whether it was a joke or not, then it probably wasn't a funny joke. Full details of the Good Team on Paper team can be found online. Your home is at risk if you do not keep up repayments. Please gamble responsibly. You have me at hello. Is it still raining? I hadn't noticed.
Undoubtedly, the greatest team the nation has ever seen.
From a yard out, he couldn't hit a barn door with a banjo.
That was as clear as day. The goalkeeper hoping to get on the end of it. And a goal!
He watched the ball all the way onto his forehead.
Who should know by now to try and keep his mouth shut if he's not happy with the referee.
What a story they are!
Because it's that man's goal that separates the two sides.
You have my permission to scream.
Good Team on Paper on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome to Good Team on Paper, the show all about fantasy football. We've just finished game week 17, and it's a very interesting set of results in this unpredictable fantasy football season. I'm Mike. I know nothing about football. Actually, no, tell a lie. I actually know something about football.
Yeah,
I knew nothing at the beginning of the season, and now I seem to be doing all right.
You're doing really well. Doing really well for a novice. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, well, as we mentioned last week, it's not a learning curve. It's a learning wiggle.
Yeah. So that's like a proper pun. The boy's done fantastic.
Yeah, I think I know how parents must feel when they when their kid goes, did poopy in toilet. I think that's the equivalent.
I can do that already. So we're good with that. So
like
don't worry.
We're like his parents. It's nice. Yeah. Am I the mother? I'm the mother. Yeah, I am. Yeah.
I think in terms of parents, if one of them was going to be statistically obsessed, it would be the mum.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, talking of that, I've got my two experts with me. I've got Rob, who knows lots about football, and Matt, who knows lots about numbers.
Lots and some letters. You better watch, Matt. I'm in a terrible, terrible... like Scrooge like me this week. So this
is it because it's Christmas round the corner?
I hate Christmas.
But it's such an exciting week.
I hate
it. It's Christmas. It's Christmas, Matthew.
It's awful.
So it's Christmas. Yeah. We've just had the first double game week of our run.
No, we haven't. No, it was two separate game weeks and, in one in 7 days.
And we're recording, you know what I mean. We're recording two shows back to back. And there's three games before we actually come on air again. I'm so excited about all of this, which counteracts the fact that Matt is arguably the grumpiest man in England.
I just don't really like Christmas that much because I spend most of the time with a really bad hangover.
Santa raped his mum and killed his dad.
I'm trying to get let's not go into a family thing again. I've had a very, very difficult week, you know, with a lot of feedback from family members.
Have you actually had feedback?
I have, and it's a good job, really, that...
Was it Margaret?
No, that was my gran, and let's not go into that. But, like, no, it was my Auntie Maureen, you know, she's a good sport. Uncle Steve is a good sport. And I've got some official corrections later, but I just want to say...
if you listen to the last 10 minutes of last week's show, then you'll understand what we're on about.
Please love you, Maureen.
Yeah, please don't. Let's just keep it on the football, mate. Let's get this over with, and then we can all go home and cry.
All right, Dream Team. The Dream Team. Matthew, talk us through it.
Well, it's been a bit of a low-key Dream Team this week, appropriately for the season.
I just ask a point of reference here? Which Dream Team are we talking? We're talking game week 17, not game week...
Sorry, yes, we are talking about game week 17, so the previous one. We can talk in passing, if you'd like, about game week 16.
It happened this time last week. Let's move on.
I did. For game week 17, a bit of a low-scoring week this week. You could have got a total of 125 points. I mean, that's a lot down. You know, it was 130 last week, 154 the time before.
I'll take it. Take it compared to my 49.
Yeah, yeah. It would be all right if you did get up to that. But, I mean, there's no real standout scorers. I think it's very telling that the top player on it was a defender, Patrick Van Aanholt from Sunderland, who got 15 points. So it was one of those ones where, you know, it's a decent plodding along, you know, let's not get relegated, let's not get promoted, just mid-table type
of week. It's like one of those meals that you have that has no flavour to it, but you need the sustenance.
That's true. Yeah, it was a...
It functionally had to happen.
Yeah.
It happened, but let's not dwell on it.
It was a jacket potato, which you have in a cafe, which they mistakenly haven't put butter on.
Just a dry baked potato.
Oh, God, nothing gets me worse.
Damn you, spud you like.
Oh, terrible in our canteen. I'll take you through the Dream Team players. So we've got Pickford in goal.
Favourite removals guy.
He's back.
Yeah. he's removing them out the back of his goal. Yeah. No, wait, he's not, because he's not. Saved.
You've even doing football jokes now.
But do you know what he's doing? He's loading his Van Aanholt.
Hey. I tell you, I'm getting into it now, actually. Yeah. Like, it's not bad, is it, this Christmas?
Just takes a few shit jokes.
There we are.
Can we keep going with the removals idea, or is it...
No, we're pretty much fucked from this point.
Though
you could argue that he empties Daroon.
And we've got Sadio Mane with a van, eh?
That works.
Sadio Mane wants to advertise on the station for his removal services, I'm sure that we could provide that.
Yeah, Matt. Sadio, if you're listening, just send us an index card written in biro, Mane with van, honest, trustworthy, fully insured.
We'll pick it up from the notice board of the local Asda.
Yeah.
Just leave it outside.
His autobiography in the Mirror obviously wasn't going down very well.
Do you know what I like about him? He keeps busy.
He does, yeah.
He's got so much going on. Fingers in so many pies.
He's got a lot of strings to his bow.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about one of them, scoring late goals later.
Yeah.
Segue back to football. Love it.
Beautiful.
So if we're going back through... Yes?
Can I tell you what my favourite thing about the defence is?
What's that?
Left-backs.
All left-backs, you're right. So we've got Patrick Van Aanholt, Cesar Azpilicueta.
Azpilicueta.
All right.
For Christmas, Matt is getting a how to pronounce footballers' surnames.
You know, it's a funny thing.
Audio guide.
If you type them into Google and you say like this pronunciation, it gives you a little guide. Like somebody's actually gone to the effort. Like this lady, it seems to be on the internet, just going through each player doing it. And so I did it, and I tried to copy it, but it's.
I'm followed on Twitter by the voice of Siri.
Are you really?
Yeah.
That's amazing. What?
Who's the voice of Siri?
She's a woman called Susan.
Really? Why isn't it called Susan then?
Because they probably didn't want her to own it.
That's true. Like, she was personally...
But she must be so busy because so many people are saying, Siri, can you do that? All right.
But I've got the man. I've got the bloke. I respond better to a man's voice.
So I have a question.
That's why we're accused of being sexist.
I have a question. So is it Rose or Rosé?
they took a red and they took a white. They put it back together to make the Tottenham kit.
Yeah, he's from Leeds, is Danny Rose, so I can pretty much guarantee it's Rose.
It's a Rose. You've got to call it. Yeah.
The white Rose.
Yeah.
But obviously he's black, but... Point remains.
The point does remain, unfortunately. I'll go through it very quickly from the front to the back. So
we've
got Pickford, Van Aanholt, Azpilicueta, Rose, Jay Rodriguez, Martin Daroon, Something a Marty, Mark Noble, Sadio Mane. Why did I start with Christian names? I can't do it. Alvaro Negredo and Zlatan Ibrahimovic. I apologise to Amati for whatever his Christian name is.
Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff Amati. Amati Amanis Amat. Amamis Amanis Amant. That's a Latin joke for all of you listeners out there.
All you guys from Oxford.
QC following.
Yeah, massive in the classics world. Mm. I think I've got to stop. I've got to start with top of the shop, Patrick Van Aanholt. To my knowledge, the first time in fantasy Premier League history that the top player in alphabetic order has also finished top of the points.
I mean, I'm guessing that.
Just so you know, that is a stat attack. That is a stat attack, Mike, and I demand that you get...
Stat attack.
That is it.
Does Van not count?
Well, not according to the way in which they do, because Van is of, isn't it, of Aanholt. Like
I thought it was like Mook. I thought it was the Dutch version of Mook.
Oh.
I can't believe you're making a point of the fact that he's got a double A in his name, and that's a big deal about this team.
That's a big deal. Well,
is it because the rest of the team is so rubbish that you need to...
I was clutching at straws, to be honest.
That is not a midfield you would select, ever.
Well, it drawing me on to the people, if it could have happened. So there was a Rolando Ahrens. Okay. As a winger for Newcastle. And he's the, I think he's in the all-time list, he's the second in the Premier League.
It's like in the Yellow Pages, isn't it?
It's like
kids
that,
are naming their kids Aaron Aronson. Just to he's going to get picked.
Yeah, here is Aaron Aardvark.
And Zubi Zaretta must be the last. That's a real player's name.
Just bookending it. That's a real player's name. Just bookending the phone book is superb. Do you know? Do you want to know who has the first in the alphabet of the whole world football?
Yes, yes, I do.
It's Mustafa Abbasi. That's Aabbassi. That's cheating, isn't it?
Two A's, two B's. Song contest.
Didn't what?
Didn't they win the Eurovision Song Contest?
That's, well, knowing me and knowing you, you know, I'd imagine that they did.
None of this is rehearsed, people.
Zaha.
Oh, he's on fire.
I remember that. I'm really back. I'm really got into this. It's funny what a little bit of Sainsbury's Taste of Prosecco does, isn't it? So he's a Belgian futsal player, by the way, if anybody wants to follow him. The best one in mainstream football is Kim Aabek. Aabech, who plays for Denmark's AC Horns. As you can tell, I got a little bit deep into that on Wikipedia.
But my favourite name in football is the former Wolfsburg manager, Wolfgang Wolf.
That is a great...
That is,
and he played for Wolfsburg.
He managed Wolfsburg, and he's called Wolfgang Wolf.
That is superb. If only he was the guy from Gladiators, who just a... Pale mullet.
If you watch Match of the Day when you're drunk and it says Arsene Wenger, Arsenal manager, they're interchangeable.
Yeah, Arsenal manager, Arsene Wenger. Yeah, Arsene Wenger, Arsenal manager.
If you're looking through Vaseline eyes...
And if you say it really quickly 10 times after a few
seconds...
He
appears behind you.
Arsene Wenger definitely can't go and manage any other team, though. He's made for that team, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. He can't, if anybody can think of another name that would phonetically meet with Arsene Wenger, then please come in. I'm thinking of Alberg, but we haven't got time to go into it. It was actually a good week for the alphabet. So well done. Well done that.
A got 20 points. Yeah, B got three.
A was huge into it. So obviously Asker put Letta, Amati, Van Aanholt doing very well for the A's. And the only other thing I want to say, I'll stray into football, fantasy football tactics here, I'm afraid. Although the alphabet has been a great source of material. and we could just go through each letter, reminiscing about a player that we like from it. Baines.
Well, I love the fact that Coleman. In the Premier League there's two Yayas.
That's true.
What are the odds?
Hang on, I've got something for you. At number three is Zed.
Well, next week we might need to go through all the way. Players who we quite like from each letter of the alphabet, which would be a riveting feature that we'll take
X up. Is going to be tricky. Oh, there's Xhaka.
I was going to say that, yeah.
Next time there's a real lull in football where they all go off and do their international time, we can do it then.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was a bit
of
a lull.
Save that for March. Save this excitement. Save football countdown for March.
Yeah. Tune in, everybody. Save until, a sponsor's properly on board. The absolute top draw material. Yeah. You know, don't want to waste it now.
Welcome to the 4-hour show where we've really run out of things.
I say, straying on to tactics, Patrick Van Aanholt, he's been in my team since the start of the season. I absolutely love the fella. Little whippet of a guy he is. He's one of those ones where he's obviously going to drop quite a few points because they're conceding goals. He gets yellow cards. He's a terrible defensive player, really. Mm. But he's fantastic going forward. A bit of a Nathaniel Klein, one of those players who's...
A Glenn Johnson.
Yes, yeah. A Moreno, those kind of things. And I think that he kind of proves that there is a benefit in taking a risk on an attacking defender. And as you say, all left-backs who have got a bit of verve to them in the team this week.
Technically, Van Aanholt's a centre-half playing left-back, and Azpilicueta is a left-back playing centre-half.
Sorry, yes, you're right, depending on where we go.
I don't know, it tickled me. I don't know why.
I know. I remember when Mike was pointing that out, he's a stickler for detail on the positioning nomenclature, isn't he?
I'll tell you what, if you tried shifting Tony DiRigo out left back, he'd have been like, I'm sorry, I don't know what to do.
He'd be pouring his pint all over you.
Though he did hit the long ball that Rod Wallace headed down to Tony Yeboah. That goal against Liverpool. That was Tony DiRigo's delivery.
Well done, Tony. And if you do want to tweet in just to reminisce about good old times, then...
Best Australian ever to play for England.
Yeah,
At GTO, no, a good team on paper.
Yeah, just get involved, Tony. It's an interesting thing with Sunderland as well. You know, you would say, I kind of saw Van Gaal as a risk because they're going to get absolutely dicked on every week, but he'll score the odd goal. But with Pickford in goal, who I love, I've been talking about a while. You've been talking about Tom Heaton.
Yeah, love Tom Heaton.
But I think Pickford's got to be going above him now. Absolutely superb player.
Well, I think it's good that two lower ranked teams have got arguably the two best keepers in the league in terms of who would you more want in goal. I mean, it's easy being David De Gea, because how many shots do you actually have to face?
It's true.
Tottenham had 30 shots at Tom Heaton. 30.
And he's still... I did a few superb saves, actually.
Yeah.
You've got, like, I mean, it's like a case point where you got Simon Mignolet, you know, he came in for Karius, and he's kept two clean sheets. You're like, but
that's like picking which farm animal gets to fuck you, isn't it? Karius. Karius or Mignolet? Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God. I mean, if forced, you know, it's. I think that.
Who do we want in goal? It has to be one of those. Yes. Yes. It has to be one of those.
It's it could be worse. It could be Brad Jones, who was the former Liverpool reserve, who was one of the worst players I've ever seen. But had Lego hair, bit of a sideswipe, so superb. I think Pickford in there. Maybe Fraser Forster is doing really badly in his team just because they got too good. You know, like he's kind of lost the being the most important player in the team now.
Mm.
But the thing that I say with Mignolet and Karius is that, you know, that Karius gets dropped, Mignolet comes in, he keeps two clean sheets, and you're like, oh, wow, fantastic. Like, I don't think Everton had a shot until the 50th minute this time.
And even then it wasn't great,
whereas everybody's Klopp is like, it's a tactical masterstroke, you know, from the guy. You know, you've got to feel really sorry for Karius, because if he's sitting there thinking, well, I could have got like two, you know, face-saving clean sheets out of this.
The thing is, it's all about the narrative that people want to present, isn't it? Because if you think back to... when Chelsea somehow held on against Barcelona.
Yeah.
And all the press were describing it as a defensive masterclass. Barcelona had like a million shots. The fact that they were all off target is neither here nor there.
It's the narrative, isn't it?
Yeah, the narrative is it was a defensive masterclass rather than, fuck me, we got lucky.
I mean, we are inherently weaving a narrative around a disparate group of performances in this section. Oh. You know, we're doing it with some style.
That's poetry.
Yeah, it is. It's beautiful. Poetry.
You're like the poet laureate of bullshit.
There we are. That should go on the Twitter thread. It is interesting to say Sunderland becoming a defensive powerhouse now. I mean, David Moyes is...
The David Moyes effect.
He's super. And they've got John O'Shea sometimes appearing at the back, who's going to make a guest appearance in the fantasy football golf team later. But
The Paddy McGuinness of football.
That's true. He does look a lot like Paddy McGuinness.
I've never seen him in the same room.
That's true. Like, if he bought a camper van and went around, you know, with a fat guy with Tony Pulis, actually.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be incredible.
And generally acted like a prick when you were working with him once.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Unprofessional. if you're listening, Paddy, you acted like a prick when I worked with you.
And look at us now.
Now I'm on a digital radio station. What the fuck are you doing?
Not even digital.
Yeah.
Thanks for your support, listener. I know I'm running over, but can I just talk about a few of the other guys? So Marty, who I apologise for not knowing his name, that Leicester comeback. Oh, I enjoyed that.
It was a joy, wasn't it? Because I thought they were very harshly done too with Vardy's red card.
Yeah.
Seeing as now two-footed lunges are de rigueur.
De rigueur,
it's Daniel. It's just a Daniel.
Just Daniel, just Dan Amati.
Yeah, I wasn't
sounds like
far...
Daddy Cardamati, doesn't it? Yeah.
I wasn't far off with Jeff.
Jeff Amati. That's his brother.
Jeff, Daniel.
No, but they're
that's
both...
his uncle, Jeff.
Yeah, you expect, you know, if you had a vet called Daniel, you'd be like, okay, that's a vet's name. Jeff, that's a vet's name. They can both be vets. You wouldn't expect a Zlatan to be your vet.
You'd expect him to be a Norse god who's like in charge of the sea or something.
And I think Ibrahimovic actually does think he is a Norse god in charge of the sea.
That's real. welcome, Dr. Daroon. The pig's anus is waiting for you. You know, that could be...
Daroon would be a professor.
That's true. Hello, Professor Daroon. Yeah. Please take a seat.
Linguistics.
I'm a doctor of letters, don't you?
I've always wondered on a
this
plane...
This week we're talking about Q.
Yeah, I've always wondered on a plane where they go like, sorry, they're in Doctor in the house. Yes! I can write a very fine set of prose.
There's a great joke about that where if there's a doctor, can you please let us know? And someone sticks their hand up and says, I'm a vegan.
Nice.
Because vegans have to tell everyone.
Nice. I love that. I'll tell you what, the funny thing about that Leicester thing is that Vardy getting sent off, that is going to have a seismic effect on a lot of managers because you've got Costa out, you've got Aguero out, you've got Vardy out, and Kane's not playing very well. Yeah. Who the hell do you pick?
Yeah, well, I've got words about that to come after the break. But
one person I could suggest, so Jay Rodriguez, he's in the Dream Team this week, and I've got a particular affection for Jay, as I like to call him. That's what his friends call him. His full name's Jason.
Okay.
He's had 12 Premier League appearances in two seasons. I remember when he played for Burnley, used to enjoy watching him down at the Turf, as I used to call it. With Charlie Austin out, so kind of, you know, in and out as he is, it'd be great for him to get some regular starts. He's going to score.
Yeah, he was always a decent player at Championship level, I know that much.
He was talked about as like kind of an England, England star.
He got picked, didn't he?
Did he?
I think he's had an England cap.
So everybody has nowadays.
Yeah, well,
it's
yeah.
Like Carlton Palmer times by bloody Jonathan Stone.
Carlton! That was the original Fenton.
Carlton!
Yeah.
Carlton!
Graham Taylor just chasing down the... Oh, we scared the deer!
Carlton! Jesus Christ, get back!
And I'm pretty sure his llama farmer advert is coming up later.
God bless you, Carlton.
That'd be great. Just a final comment from me. Or can I talk about more?
Well, we've got to get through your stats attack, but final comment.
Okay, final comment. So, Mark Noble. I was at, I'm glad to say, the ground at West Ham versus Burnley, a classic that will remain long in the memory because I had an absolutely superb steak and ale pie and a small pack of popcorn I wanted to get, but I thought it was £6. I thought, no, not made out of money, not at these wages down at Fubar. But he's just showing that how important a penalty taker is. You know, we're going to look later at the top scorers of the season, Milner being right up there. He's scored 15 of his past 17 penalties.
What, Mark Nobles?
Yeah, Mark Nobles. And I just think he's a superb player.
Unlucky never to have played for England.
I think, because he's still got a chance.
I have a quick question. Does one actually eat popcorn at a football game?
Well, you do in the London Stadium.
One doesn't say one at a football game.
Yeah. Yes, I thought that might be the case.
You can get away with that in the season ticket end at West Ham. It was very, very posh.
Excuse me, one would like to inquire if you have... do you have a claret?
I've heard
you're the claret and blues.
Lovely.
I've got this delicious pie, and I believe a claret would accompany it beautifully.
Do you mean I can hardly have Coca-Cola? What do you want about? Anyway, stat attack.
Next week I'll be having a chicken balti pie with a Pinot Grigio.
You ready for your stat attack?
Just when I turned over the page.
And it's the other side.
Yes, it's the other side. Hello.
Stat attack.
All right, so I'm going for a general stat attack first. So Liverpool's win on Monday was the fourth Premier League win over Everton that has come via goal in the 90th minute or later.
Fascinating.
Thanks, BBC Sport.
One
of my own. Liverpool have actually won double the number of Premier League matches by 90th minute winners against Everton than they have any other opponent.
Stat attack.
These are all stat attacks.
Everton didn't manage a shot on target until the 75th minute.
Stat attack.
And the first shot on target from either team came in the 50th minute.
It sounds like a riveting game.
I did. I watched every minute of it and I enjoyed it immensely after a delicious curry at Durbar, Notting Hill. I recommend it. Please send in a Rogan Josh. That first shot on target came in the 50th minute. That's actually the second longest wait in a Premier League match this season. I think we know the other one. Swansea-Sunderland, of course it was. 51st minute, 10th of December. Jack Wilshere's assist in the game this week was his first in September 2014.
And he's supposed to be the great white hope of English football. Come on.
I know, absolutely incredible. So the only other fact I've got is that poor old Brad Bobley, we're going to be coming on to this later, has won just 20% of his Premier League games so far. That's 2 out of 10, and that's the worst win rate.
But did you did you hear what he had to say about it?
No.
We were unlucky conceding the PK. It's a fucking penalty, mate.
It's definitely.
And
Stop the music for that. He said what? PK?
Yeah, we were unfortunate conceding the PK, and also, you know, we've had a lot of road games.
Oh.
You're not in Texas now, Brad.
That's right. What a road game.
Road game.
Away. Away right. from home.
Roadhouse.
But then the Americans do it weirdly anyway. So let's say the Chicago Bears were playing the Philadelphia Pizzas.
Right? That's not beyond the realms of possibility.
At American baseball. And they were playing in Chicago. The fixture would be listed as Philadelphia at Chicago.
Yeah.
So the away team is listed first. Yeah. Like they do with dates.
Yeah.
They don't say it's the 9th of December. They say it's December the 9th. What is wrong with you, America?
It should be Bob Lee Brad.
Yeah. I revoke your independence.
Yeah.
You can't be trusted.
On the NFL show. I watched that. Like, it's on after Match of the Day. And it's actually a cracking watch. I recommend it. We could do an NFL version of this show if we get paid more.
Yeah, but do you know what? Because of that, the championship is now called the EFL. Go fuck yourselves.
Awful.
And on that note,
Good Team on Paper on FUBAR Radio.
You've seen it in the Sky Sports adverts. Now experience it in the flesh. The Premier League live in concert. John Motson will be conducting the London Philharmonic Orchestra with special guests Ian Wright on bassoon and Thierry Henry on double bass.
Hello, I'm John Motson, and I'm quite certain that the event in this marvellous stadium will not let them down.
Tickets are going fast. Book now for this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. The Premier League, live, all this season at the O2. Due to popular demand, we've added extra dates. From this season, you'll be able to experience the magic of the Premier League live in concert on alternating Fridays and Mondays. Book your tickets now to see the Allens, Shearer and Hansen on percussion, alongside Jonathan Pearce on flute. Plus, on the 23rd of January, coming out of a 20-year retirement, Eric Cantona will be returning to the Premier League for a one-time-only performance of I Kicked a Boy and I Liked It.
Today, self-appointed Commissioner of Football wants to say thank you.
Tickets are flying out the stadium. Book now for this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. The Premier League, live in concert, all this season.
Let it go. Let it go.
FUBAR Radio presents
Access All Areas.
Family there.
Sam Fox, you've been doing so much. Are we going to see you in Playboy for the 50th celebration?
Do Playboy at 15. Apparently, it said in the paper today, I've got the best breasts in the house.
Hey.
Yeah. Listen, you know, there's a thin line you don't cross in this business, and it's being artistic or there's being tacky.
Exactly.
And I don't think I ever crossed that line.
No, you didn't.
Tacky.
No, you didn't.
I was the girl next door with a smile on my face with a lovely pair of tits. That's it.
Every Thursday.
Access all areas.
From 6 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
Winter is coming, and when winter comes, you know you're going to want a nice warm jumper. Sheep's wool is so 2015. You need Lama wool. And if you need Lamas, you need me, Carlton Palmer. Throughout my playing career for Sheffield Wednesday, Leeds United and England, I used to get cold on the bench thanks to poor quality British wool. Seeing me shake, Robbie Fowler directed me to his Peruvian connection. That didn't work out, but when I was in Peru, I learned about the wonderful warming qualities of llama wool. Now I've got a whole herd, or pack, or flock, or whatever it is, and I'm the number one supplier of llama wool in the UK. So if you want to be warm, just call on me. Carlton Palmer, Llama Farmer.
Good Team on Paper, on FUBAR Radio.
Carlton Palmer there, the original, what did we call him just earlier?
The original Yaya Touré based box-to-box midfielder?
Yeah.
Why not?
Anyway, you always got the impression that his legs didn't know what his hands were doing, and his brain was just, oh, I don't know, he's thinking about shopping or something.
It's always described, Jim Furyk, the golfer, his swing was described as an octopus falling out of a tree.
Okay.
I think that Carlton Palmer would be a selection of seafood rolled down a small hillock.
Into a canal.
Into a canal, and then swam away to its own freedom, opening a pub in Sheffield. should we talk about some of the... It was a week worthy of discussion. I was a bit down at it, wasn't it, at the start?
But
I've really grown into the week.
You were Scrooge-like.
I was. Well, I still...
For all you Dickens fans.
I'm still a little bit, like, you know, against Christmas in general. But, yeah. You know, I think this week football can pick it up.
Sorry, though, that also applies to... cartoon fans, because of course there's Scrooge McDuck as well.
DuckTales. Woo!
That is one mean duck.
That, yeah, he is. Yeah, that is a proper duck with no trousers on.
Yeah. But a top? Where's a nice top?
It was acceptable in the
70s. That's weird.
No, he trained with crew reserves.
hey!
So, the
controversial.
That was a half-hearted crew reference. Mm. I think some of the one thing we've got to talk about, I mean, we talked about Leicester's comeback.
Sorry, is this the news from the wider world of football?
It's a bit
of a general
everything.
Chat.
Okay, all right.
You can play it if you want, but it won't be related to what I'm
no,
about
no,
to
I'm
say.
Good. I'm good, don't worry.
Okay, you're itching over it, I can tell. But I think so.
Mainly because I can't find it. But anyway, it's fine.
City against Arsenal. This is a proverbial six-pointer, isn't it, this week? And it's an interesting fact, it wasn't in the stat attack, but Guardiola has never lost a home game against Wenger in any competition. They've played quite a few times in the Champions League, and he's never lost. And City, they don't really have a good record of coming back games. They're kind of they're a good front runners, but they never go, apart from like a kind of Devon Lock moment,
right?
Which was pretty much what Arsenal was.
But I mean, Arsenal have twice in a week scored first and lost.
Yeah,
that's not good.
It's classic Arsenal, isn't it? Promising much, but then just disappointing at the end.
There was a lot of online stuff saying time to go, Arsene, and things like that. And I have to admit, I felt a bit sorry for the fella, because it wasn't his fault that the linesman didn't do his job.
Yeah, but I mean, it was his fault that he did a hilarious 70-year-old man hop when they lost, just a kind of like little fist, kind of like, oh God, there's not, what, 8 items or more in the bloody queue in front of me, like bloody Aldi.
But you see, this segues nicely for me into my pet peeve of the week, which is officials. Because everyone always says, you know, the best officials are the ones you don't notice and everything. And this week, they have had a profound effect on the results. As an example, you know, I don't think anyone would argue that Man City were not the better team against Arsenal. They were the better team.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But both the goals they scored were offside. Yeah. Both of them.
Sané was ludicrously offside, yeah.
And Silva, you know, all these pundits saying he wasn't interfering with play... He was in the box. He was ahead of the defenders by 3 yards. He swung his foot at the ball. How much more interfering with play can you get?
But he was acting naturally, just whistling, kind of like looking off to the side.
Just sauntered off.
I mean, natural boys.
Yeah, I am impressed, actually, that Peter Cech didn't lose his shit over it.
He always seems to me like a very calm, reasonable man, Peter Cech, a cerebral man.
But we... For example, we know that the Tinker Man, Mr. Ranieri, is a calm and reasonable man, and he had to be held back by Kasper Schmeichel when Jamie Vardy got what is, I would argue, it's not a red card offence,
and it's two footed.
But two footed does not determine everything.
They always say, like, jump into life, you know, with both feet.
That
doesn't apply to, you know, a kind of a knee-high tackle.
Are you suggesting he'd read a book of inspiring quotations before taking to the pitch?
He got given it for the Secret Santa.
Maybe he's looks at the Art of War and just, like, Sun Tzu.
Your enemy, yeah.
Do you know what? The ironic thing is, on the next page, it says, look before you leap. Just short. But no, the thing is, right, so Marcus Rojo, Okay, so against against Everton, he should have been sent off. There is absolutely no... I mean, I said this about Diego Costa earlier in the season. That pales into insignificance because...
That Costa one was the most significant moment of the season.
It
so
was
far.
At the time.
No, this is more like...
This is
the most significant moment of the season so far.
I was behind on that.
It is much more significant, and here's why.
Okay.
Because against Everton, two-footed lunge... Absolute stonewall red card. There is no debate about it. This isn't... We're not talking two bookings. Should he get booked a second time? We're talking straight red card. Minimum 3-match ban. He didn't get banned. Then he plays against Tottenham. A match where he would have been banned. Who does he mark out the game? Oh, it's Harry Kane. Who was on a very hot scoring streak.
True. He's a great defender on his day. Okay.
Right. And so Man United win quite comfortably. Tottenham lose ground in the title race. Ali is despondent about this news. And then they play Palace.
Yeah.
He does the same thing again against Wilfred Zaha.
Yeah.
Again, just gets a yellow card. Had they gone down to 10 men, maybe Palace would have come back. Who knows? Mm. But he doesn't. He goes on. And then he plays at the weekend and has another good game. But I did like that Solomon Rondon gave him a slap.
I backed Solomon Rondon to be a kind of crusader for players' rights. Like
did you
Captain
see,
Planet.
Did you see Phil Jones? Rondon slaps Rojo across the chops. Phil Jones looking like fucking Beaker, as he does.
Like Beaker on steroids. With all neck. Yeah. Just neck all the way down.
Phil Jones, right? You want your centre-half... at that point to step up and push the guy or at least get in his grill as Duncan Ferguson would have done back in the day. No, Phil Jones's mouth opened so wide that I feared for the stadium and he goes running off to teacher.
Yeah.
Mr. Referee, he slapped our resident thug.
Yeah.
What's he doing?
It's a contact sport.
Oh, you're going to send him off because he gave him a little slap? Marcus Rojo has been given a green light to go around. He will break someone's leg at some point and he may end someone's career. And the FA have tacitly approved of that.
But he looks like a man who would sharpen a toothbrush into some kind of shiv. You know,
it wouldn't surprise me. He's probably got a tattoo somewhere on his body that indicates he's killed a man.
Yeah. He's brewing wine in his toilet.
Mm. He gets uncomfortable.
Just at home in his four-bedroom mansion.
He doesn't have to, but he's conditioned to do it.
He won't play for certain teams because of the gang colours.
That's true, yeah.
He has been told, because of the Premier League and FA's point-blank refusal to actually look at the context of a tackle when it's been given a yellow card. They just go, no, the referee's seen it. If those referees have seen those tackles and only given a yellow card, they need to be fired.
I like the fact also that Brad Bobley would probably pronounce his name Rojo.
Yeah.
we really missed out against Marcos Rojo.
Yeah, Marcos Rojo is one of their main guys on defense.
But he's in the top 7th percentile of defensive midfielders.
Yeah. And they're the winningest team in Premier League history.
Extra time, multi-ball. Yeah.
But seriously, Marcus Rojo is a danger. And the fact is, he's now got twice in three games potential career-ending tackles got away with when we have 50 cameras at games that see all this and they've gone, referee saw it, we can't do anything, our hands are tied. So what happens?
But he's got one perspective, whereas if there's 50 cameras.
No, and I feel for the referee. Yeah. I do feel for the referee. They made a mistake. But what they should be able to do is say, do you know what? I made a mistake. I thought I saw it, but looking at that, God, if I'd actually seen that and done this, I'm pretty shit at my job.
See,
just to follow that on, Jamie Vardy, when you actually look at it, wasn't all that bad. He went in, he didn't go in studs up, it wasn't a stamp, it was a lunging tackle, yes, but it never looked particularly dangerous. He got a straight red, he appealed against it, and because the referee has said, no, I didn't make a mistake, he's got a 3-match ban. And what he did, I would be on the receiving end of that tackle 30 times before I was on the receiving end of one of Rojo's once. It was it's awful, and it annoys me.
He didn't open his mouth, Jones, like trying to get a word in.
I'm still going because they had another thing with Sissoko this week for Tottenham, who did the exact same thing as Arnautovic did for Stoke. Sissoko got a yellow card. Ross Barkley nearly took Jordan Henderson's leg off. Mm-hmm. I've been tempted to do the same. But I'm unlikely to be in the, you know, Jordan Henderson could run away from me very easily.
And not anymore, after that incident with the crowbar.
Yeah, can we have a significant moment alert?
The most significant moment of the season so far.
It's a statistic, but it's a significant statistic.
It is, because this is the first...
Oh, no, it is a statistic!
This is the first time ever.
Right.
That I'm going to say something good about Jordan Henderson.
Yeah. All right. Drum roll.
After the game, when Jordan Henderson had been on the receiving end of an awful tackle from Ross Barkley, he spoke up for the lad. He said nice things about him when he could have said those sort of tackles end careers. Yeah. The FA needs to look at it. And so he didn't do that. Jordan, if you're listening, I know you're a friend of the show. Respect you for that. Still hate you as a player.
He's a worthy England captain.
Get out!
It definitely is to be a worthy England captain, that kind of attitude. Mike, what were you going to say before?
Burn down your bar.
Even though it's too late to have it on, what was going to be your comment?
Well, my comment was going to be something along the lines of, even though I am a massive cricket fan, and, you know, it's possibly the most ancient sport in the world, and there will be a good innings on paper at some point, the spin-off show.
Yeah.
But they've got they're all about the cameras and making sure people are out.
We've got the technology.
Why aren't we using it in football? I don't get this. Like, cricket is ancient, and yet they've got kind of the equivalent of goal line technology.
As is tennis. Tennis is ancient.
If they can put it in the Wimbledon, in 1817 or something,
rugby union. It's tedious, but they use it.
Yeah. Think of how big a cricket pitch is, and they can still see if something's in or out. Whereas a football pitch is a lot smaller, and match of the day has got all the graphics. Why can't they do it?
They make so many excuses to avoid doing it. They don't want to be seen to be undermining the authority of referees. Whereas what it should be is, let's make the right decision.
Yeah.
They don't want to slow down the game, when in reality, if a decision's going to take longer than 5 seconds, don't send it to a video ref.
To wrap this up, goal line technology, good. And
more technology, better.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get the right decisions. I don't care. It's all about the right decisions. I don't want controversy. I want the right decisions.
And Rob finally has admitted that he actually quite likes Jordan Henderson.
Good team on paper. On FUBAR Radio.
You have job need doing? You have man work? Then you need men. And if you need men, you need Crazy Roman's Discount Player Emporium. Hi, I'm Crazy Roman Abramovich, billionaire oligarch, Chelsea owner and all-round nice guy. Over years, I accidentally accumulated too many player. Whoopsie! You know how it is when you go shopping, impulse buying a Danish centre-half at the counter. 10 million. Sorry for that. Well, my reckless spending could mean bargain for you. You have baby needs sitting? There's no safer pair of hands than Matej Dalak. 30 quid for night, plus whatever he want from fridge. You have leaves? We have sweeper. Holland defender Nathan Aker. Just £10 hour, plus lift home. Need people for political flyering? They don't get more left-wing than Charlie Musondo Jr. or more right-wing than Christian Atsu. Pay them just pennies per flyer. Satisfaction guaranteed. I spent millions on players I don't even know I've got. So if you have job and can't be bothered to do, just call in to Crazy Roman's Discount Player Emporium. With over 70 players in stock, we have man for you. Thumbs up.
FUBAR Radio presents
Ian Boltworth.
You've now got to do a trail.
Ian Boltworth, Mondays 2 till 4. What a lad. LAD.
And 3, 2.
Ian Boltworth, Mondays 2 till 4. You're on air, mate. With an 8 in it. 3, 2, Ian Boldsworth, Mondays 2 till 4. If you're sad, listen to the show because you'd be happy after. You just need 2 hours spare. Ian Boldsworth on Mondays 2 till 4.
Do you fancy coming over here?
On what station?
Fubar Radio with a U in it.
Every Monday.
Ian Boldsworth.
From 2 p.m. on Fubar Radio.
Are you lonely? Do you need someone to gloat over? Do you know more than Mike about football? Then why not join our mini-league? As a part of this elite club, you'll receive exclusive bragging rights over your peers and strangers you can taunt over the internet. Want more? Well, join now and we'll waive the usual 10 grand entry fee. Just use the league code 636-272-790-456. Also, you receive a free beer should we ever meet in person and you remember to ask for one. That's the GTOP Mini League 636-272-790-456. What have you got to lose other than your last remaining tread of dignity?
Players must be 9 months or over. No terms and conditions may apply. Any prizes on offer are purely fictional.
Good team on paper on FUBAR Radio.
I'd like to say I've regained my dignity through that league.
You have. You've done very well.
Yeah. This week, 50. And the last two game weeks, 52 points each.
Next week, the world.
Yeah. That's impressive. It is.
And at some point earlier in the season, I got 80-something. So there have been weeks of 12 and 16 in between. Yeah. But, you know, it's... Yeah.
Peaks and troughs, isn't it? Yeah. Peaks and troughs.
Can I do another stat attack very quickly?
Yeah.
Stat attack.
Stoke City... haven't had an English goal scorer in how many games?
I know this because it was on the homepage of BBC Sport. Mm.
Can I guess then?
Yeah, go on
then,
yeah.
So in how many weeks or how many games?
Games?
13.
No. 55.
Yeah.
55 games.
I want to say fuck off at that point, but I'm not known for swearing, fuck off!
Yeah.
Mike, do not go down to his level.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah,
it's two beers in.
When I go low, you go high. It worked for. Oh no, it didn't work for Hillary, did it? I'm gonna
I
win.
It said for Hitler.
Yeah. Well,
I was like, when you go low, I go high.
Hey!
I go
Heil. Hitler jokes. We're doing Hitler jokes, people.
Heil Hitler.
Oh, no, God, no.
No, in the context, that was fine. Don't tell me there's somebody in the studio. No, in the context, that wasn't what we said. No, like that was a perfectly valid statement. Don't call in. Don't write in.
Yeah.
We don't want to be popular with
it
the far right.
It started as when you go low, we go high, and it became when you go low, we go Heil. And then...
Sorry.
And then Matt just started chanting Heil Hitler.
Sorry, it worked well. In context.
To a Tottenham fan as well. Oh. You know about their history.
Oh.
You're Mark Bosnich all over again.
Well, I mean, on the positive side, Ali, you did get 54 points in this week's mini-league.
Oh, so it's awkward.
Bad, you know,
it's awkward now.
I'm trying to, like, butter me up now with, like, some compliments to cover up that.
But yeah,
editing.
So that's 55 games, just to get it briefly back on track. From an awkward moment not caused by me.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Apparently the record, I think, is Newcastle with 90 games.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've always thought they've had a solid English business. Now, well, we can't back that up. So
yeah, there's, yeah. I mean, yeah, once Rob Lee retired.
There we are. Yeah, next week we've got Stoke's away form in the context of Kristallnacht. our teams in their mini league. Can I talk about how we got on?
Yeah, sure. Let's do this.
So it's been an interesting week in the league this week. The top spot actually changed place quite a few times over the weekend. So shout out to Gary Bundy, Matted Merkins. He was top by the end of Sunday, but agonisingly just inched out of it by long-time leader Jamie Heath.
Jammer.
He's a formidable foe right at the top there. Graham Billing kind of in that area, but going up to six, I mean, it's actually becoming a real dogfight for the Champions League places. So we've got Broad Stars, Danny Rowlands, we've got Rolls Royce.
Perennial favourite.
Absolutely superb top scorer on a great run. Roy's Rolls Revival.
Mm.
Roy Knowles.
Interesting fact about Roy Knowles, his actual name is Chris.
Ah.
but his middle name is Roy.
So he's put it in because...
Yeah. No, everyone calls him Roy.
Really?
Yeah, even his mum.
Well, I would. If I had the choice between Chris and Roy, I would go for that. And I'd say shout out to Ali this week, who's made a big move up. He's going to Knife with the Osman ruling. Mm. And I, unfortunately, again, I was the top scorer out of the presenters here, 59. And I'm really hovering around those Champions League spaces. Don't need that music.
You want the music?
No.
You sure?
I don't need it. I'm already... No, I've got a massive ego already, mate. I don't need this. I don't, as we're talking about it. What a fantastic week it was.
Can I just say, though, banner week for Joe McVeigh.
Joe McVeigh,
friend of Joventus.
Joventus, great name as well. Mm. What do you expect from a funny man? Funny man.
Well, Joe McVeigh, top scorer in the league this week. Hopefully in the new year, being top scorer for the week might even bring you prizes. More on that later. Joe McVeigh, top scorer of the week, and became a dad.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
congratulations.
We should do the music for him, but it'll be like a bit over the top. Right.
His girlfriend gave birth to a baby human.
Not wife.
No. Called Baxter. I can only assume named after Jose Baxter of Barnsley.
Did you say baby human make sure, because it's called Baxter?
It's a baby human, and he announced it.
I've never met his girlfriend.
He brilliantly announced it by saying that his son had been taken on by an African email scam. Turns out he was born yesterday. Great dad gag.
A shout out to Joe. He'll be taking on a higher standard of dad gags. But done to him. 64 points. I was second highest, of course. The bottom scorer. So, I mean, we could mention your could be GGA's team, right? But as it's based on a tired premise from week two, go into it. We can't really be able to change the team. But the bottom genuine team was from one Duncan Hewitt. With his team, a team of Gary Breens, who only got 35.
Well, he does have 11 Gary Breens in there.
It would have been great.
What do you expect? He's retired, man.
Do you know he nearly once played for Inter Milan, Gary Breen?
Really?
But instead, he went to Glen Rhoda's West Ham, which is like, it's Inter Milan or Glen Rhoda's West Ham. I mean, I guess they kind of like rhyme. They're kind of phonetically similar.
Well, I suppose it's like when Lattice signed for Tottenham, and he actually signed for Tottenham.
Yeah.
And then he rang him up and went, actually, I've been to Tottenham. Tottenham's the area. Bit of a shithole, isn't it? Can I go back to Southampton, please?
Awful.
Southampton, yeah. I've just spotted it. I beat Rob this week.
You did, and you did really, really well.
You've beaten me 3 weeks in a row, Mike.
Have I?
Yeah, you're beginning to really make.
Well, now I need the music.
Mm. No, you don't get it for that.
And
all about me.
Anyway. Really making a move.
He's the only one that's got access to buttons here.
Yeah. In fact, if you like to have a decent week next time, you could be on the dizzy heights of 19th. Absolutely superb. People should sign up, because they say there might be prizes. In the new year, mainly probably from my own pocket. We've got a very extensive charcuterie selection here in the studio tonight. We're celebrating, it's nearly Christmas. So if you
there are some fantastic IPA around as well.
Lovely.
Not only
IPA.
Brewed by me, but also by the wonderful people at BrewDog as well.
Shout out to BrewDog.
And some falafel.
Very nice. Well, I had a bit.
If you're in it just for laughs,
I had a bit of a win this week, so I've splashed out. I won £15. On the games where you can play along, you play along for the weekend. So I actually want to come into a bit of money this week because I won £15 on one of the one of those leagues where you pay for the weekend.
Well, it's kind of new.
So you put your fantasy team here into.
Well, I put on a different one for this weekend, with the benefit of a wild card. I might put that in, but I don't play it so far because over the Christmas fixtures, you really want to save it. So I had Negredo in. I had Mane in. And at one point, I was winning £750.
Wow.
And it was great actually watching it. Like, say, on DraftKings, it was.
Yeah.
I was watching like the ebb and flow of the league, and it's actually really genuinely insane because I was like kind of 10th in the league, then I was 400th.
So it's like football, it's like betting on football, but you're choosing the team.
I wouldn't say it's more like a game, really. It's just like it's not betting because I've won every time. So, it's like it's not a risk.
That's how they get you.
That's the thing. They really like draw me in, to be honest. But I'm way up.
It was like when I first played on the Euro Millions, I won £82 million, and now I play every week.
£1 at a time, they're chipping away.
Yeah,
those winnings.
Like an idiot.
But there it is.
Can I? Are there games this weekend?
There are games this weekend, Mike.
And it's actually, Christmas!
Yeah, actually, it's our last proper show of the season, isn't it?
Yeah, so, it's Boxing Day games.
Thanks to our loyal listener.
Yeah. Oh. Santa. Santa, if you're listening, I really want a BMX, and I've been so good. I know I've sworn quite a lot, but they're encouraging me to do it here, the bigger boys.
Between now and our next live show. Oh, yeah, next year, we're going to be live. Ooh. Anyway,
potentially, if we give enough money to get it
Yeah, so between now and next
year. I bet that gets the similar response to when Coldplay go, "We're doing a tour," and everyone goes, "All right."
Yeah. Well, at least we're not like 50 quid to listen to us.
No.
Well, combined. How big's our audience? Enough. Well, there's 40,000 in here. How much did they pay? Oh, less than a penny each.
Anyway, isn't there three games between now and the next time that we do a show? Is that correct?
There are, but we're dealing with two of those games.
Three
rounds.
Game weeks, sorry, yes.
Three game weeks.
We're dealing with two of those game weeks in the supplementary show that we're recording after this one. So we've just got Boxing Day games.
Right, let's talk about those. How about a
Goal Fest?
I love Boxing Day games. Yeah, just when you're sitting there hungover, really full, having some cold sandwiches, watching a bit of that.
It breaks my heart a little bit that there isn't a full programme on Boxing Day.
Yeah.
That's not tradition.
Liverpool not on there. I'm really annoyed about that.
And by the way, FA, if you're listening, winter break, no, go fuck yourselves. Right? You can do that in countries where they need a winter break because they have weather. We don't have any of that, so keep going. The working man likes to spend Boxing Day away from his family, getting shit-faced at the football.
I usually go to the races. Anyway, Goal Fest.
I usually go to the racists as well. Your in-laws racist. Oh, races!
Oh, sorry.
Okay, sorry.
See,
sorry.
When they go low, you go high. No, let's not go in that road again.
Yeah. So, just to confirm, my in-laws are racist.
And I go to the races. Anyway, Goal Fest.
Arsenal, West Brom.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I think Sanchez is going to fill his boots and Rondon's going to get involved too.
Yeah,
that I've just got a sneaky feeling about that.
As we discussed last time, Goal Fest and Points Fest are the same thing. But
they are not the same thing.
They are not the same thing.
For the sake of the format, we'll do both.
Come on, hang on. Goalkeeper, saving stuff. He gets points for doing that.
Yes, but would lose points if the other team scored a goal. So the Goal Fest.
Goals do lopside things somewhat. Yes. In the game of football.
I granted that if a player misses a penalty, like a penalty is saved, and then that player scores. Like Mark Noble, I meant to check this out. Did Mark Noble get, when he missed a penalty as I saw it live, but then scored it on the rebound? Mm. Does he get the points? Lose 6 points, for conceding, missing a penalty, and then get them for scoring.
Right. Ooh,
I don't know.
In
fact, if anybody has access to that, because I haven't looked at it, then I'd be interested to hear their views.
I've got a suggestion for a rule change to football in general as well.
What's that?
You know how finals tend to be cagey affairs? They often end up 0-0 and they go through extra time and they're still 0-0.
Yeah.
If it finishes 0-0 after extra time, neither team wins it. Third and fourth. Yeah, the two losing semi-finalists get into the final.
They just get in because they put in more effort. I quite like that. I could go for that.
That way, it takes away the possibility of dullness.
If there's anybody from the FA who would like to come in and be a spokesperson for that, then feel free. I would say, so you were asking me about a Goal Fest.
Goal Fest.
Yeah. What was it?
Goal Fest!
I am going to go for Burnley Middlesbrough. Because Negredo is on great form, but Burnley are good at home, and I think they'll get. They managed to score against Spurs. You can score against a lot of teams. I think it'd be great.
Just on a separate note, do you know what I did again this week? I left Nathan Aker on the bench again, and he scored 8 points again.
Okay.
Look, Ake? Surnames are your thing.
Ake, just Ake like that, like.
Han Ake.
Yeah, his first name, his brother's Tooth.
Yeah.
I would say.
I'm sorry, it's that time.
So, okay.
No, because we've got to cut out his Heil Hitler stuff.
No, we'll keep it in. So we've got, I would say, the snooze fest this week.
Swansea West Ham.
That's exactly what I was looking at. And luckily it's away.
So I'm going to watch that in order to go to sleep.
Yeah, that is absolutely
and
horrendous.
Points, Leicester Everton. That's got points written all over it. And when I say that, you know it means business.
I'd say Liverpool State because there'll be loads of clean sheets from Liverpool. I know I'm tempting fate.
And that is your lot. So
Stoke,
thank you very much
for
their insight. We'll be back in the new year at some point. I've been Mike Swain.
I've been Rob Lee.
I've been Batman.